What a blessing, amen. We've had great music this morning, amen. We ought to have a different song. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, Lord willing. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 126 today. Psalm 126, it's good to be back with you in the pulpit, amen. I feel like we had those two men last week, and I'm itching. I got to preach this week over at a preacher's fellowship, and so I don't worry about it. It's not like 2 weeks all bound up for this morning, all right? You thought we were going to go into overtime or something. Doesn't mean we won't go into overtime. It just means that I did preach between now and then, and so I was just trying to give you just a little. Psalms 126, we'll read the entire chapter there, all six verses of it this morning. Want to give a title for the tape room this morning, Sowing and Weeping. Sowing and Weeping is the title of the message this morning. We'll ask the Lord to help us this morning as we get into the message. Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we do know there are so many folks that are not with us because they're feeling sick, Lord, having some type of infirmity this morning. We do lift them up and pray for them again. So much of our family, of our church, Lord, and Lord, we pray that you just bring them back to us and heal them up. I pray that you'd be with Pastor Carter this morning. I know that, Lord, I pray you just bless them and their health, Lord. Help them enjoy their time while they're in West Virginia as we think of them this morning. I pray now as we open your word, Lord, that you'd do a work that I cannot do. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd use me as your messenger boy just to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ from your word. I pray, Lord, that you do a work in the hearts of people. Draw men to yourself, Lord. We'll lift you up this morning. And I pray if there's one that does not know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. We'll ask it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. In Psalm 126, we see here it's a psalm that is not entitled with anyone who is the writer necessarily, but thank God we can read it knowing that it's in Scripture, that it's Scripture because it's in our Bible. And we don't necessarily need to know who the writer was because we know who the writer is, and his name is God. Amen. And so even though we don't have a designation of who the penman was, we know the writer, and the writer is God. And so what a blessing it is. Sometimes they're designated. It's a Psalm of David, or sometimes Solomon, sometimes others, all the way through. Here, this is definitely someone who had come out of Babylonian captivity. So the setting here is rejoicing because they've been set free. Now, if we can't make an Old Testament song or application to a New Testament Christian of having been in captivity to sin and having been set free through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, more than anything this morning, if you can't identify with this psalm because you've never accepted Jesus Christ, more than anything, I want you to be saved. I want you to know what it's like to be free from the burden of sin and being a slave to it because you're freed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of folks that have never experienced that, but I can tell you the day that I got born again, I've heard all kinds of different ways about how it felt, but what happened was I was freed from the captivity of being in my sin and being headed for a devil's hell. Now, I'm still in the old rotten flesh. That, again, it's sinful. Doesn't mean that I'm freed from sinning. It means I'm freed from my sin because Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I still struggle. I still, as the scripture said, have besetting sins, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Praise God. Amen. And it's not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of who Jesus is and because of what he's done. Let me tell you, these folks that are heading back from Babylon, they are in the scripture going to praise God, not because of what they did. They didn't earn their way. Some of them were very, very good servants. We know Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They not only stood tall for their God and what they believed, but they also served like nobody else served. They were a servant in captivity. When they were asked to do something, they did it as long as it did not violate what they believed. What America would look like if Christians were servants. Amen. Amen. People who worked. People who gave themselves in their community and everywhere they were, and their testimony showed that they were different They had a new song. They didn't slow down when they got saved. They sped up. They became a better worker at work. They became a better friend in friendships. They became a better companion all around. Listen, not hanging our head and woe is me, but whistling while I work because I get to stay here. I get to serve God. I get to be saved and do the work of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Listen, you know this idea of having a time where we can put on, just show everybody the ministries of the church. It's not to try to some of you may think this morning, oh, they're just trying to put it on display that I don't have a ministry. No, we're trying to show you where you can get plugged in. We're trying to come, you know what I'd like more than anything? Even if you don't want to take on anything new, just walk by and watch the people who are excited about what they're doing. That would encourage you if you just went through the building and walked over by the people that go soul winning. You say, I don't know if I want to go soul winning. If you walk by the table of the people that are soul winners, if you go by the foster club, those ladies, not only will they try to recruit you, but they'll tell you why they want to recruit you. Because of the visits that they've made. Because of the people that have been saved, because of the lives that have been changed. If you go by the fishers of men, they'll tell you about the ones, listen, they're praying that they're double. They'll win twice as many as they won last year, this year. You say it's not about numbers. Listen, I'll tell you again because I like what Dr. Pitt said. We count people because people count. It's not about a number. If we don't hit that number, no one's going to go, oh man, we didn't score or we didn't win the game. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus wants everybody to be saved. We can't witness to the wrong person. Listen, you go over there, you say, well, I didn't realize we did that. Many of you know we have buses and nursery and security. We have all these. There are things that will be over there tonight that you won't even know that we did that, that we had a ministry to that. And you'll get to hear from somebody. Doesn't mean you'll get involved. It just means there's another area for you to pray for. Another area for you to get encouraged about. And you've already been invited to be a part of the choir, right? And I mean, he's trying to jump early. I think he went a little bit, it's a little too far. Everybody was waiting for tonight and going to have their table and everybody's going to have free game and all the help. But he just jumped forward and tried to get people early. Amen. But I appreciate his zeal. Amen. Zeal without knowledge, though. Anyway, so... But you got Brother Perkins. He told me quickly. He said he was joining the choir. So, hold. Oh, you don't want him? Okay. All right. Stay on the opposite sides of the auditorium. Amen. But in Psalm 126 this morning, the Bible, it's very clear that people have come out of captivity. I want to read it with you this morning. He says here in verse number 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. As the streams in the south, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, look, and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This morning, it's a simple message, and it should be a psalm that you've heard before. But when we look in the Old Testament and we see how rejoicing it must have been, for after years and years of captivity, 70 years, that they are now free to go back and begin to rebuild the city where God put his name, the place that they had wanted to stay, but because of their sin, it had separated them from a place of closeness with God, and God judged them. And they were separated from him. Sounds a lot like the Garden of Eden to me, where God gave them an instruction book and he told them how to live. And it was one line, one instruction. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. And man messed that one up. Just like when they had a bigger law and they were supposed to rest. And they were supposed to, this whole thing coming up is harvest days. And you know how God's people really robbed God or hurt him? God had a year, every so often they were supposed to take a rest. They were supposed to take a break and let the fields rest. And be able to rejuvenate themselves. And they didn't do it. And they didn't do it. And they didn't do it so long that God finally judged them to a place where he got all of those years of rest back, and it took 70 years to make it up. And sometimes we miss the fact that God's going to get His whether we like it or not. God's way is His way, and it's so much better when we let Him have His way in our life than when He takes it. God's not a mean God. God's not an angry God. God's a God that sent His Son to die for you on Calvary, to redeem you back into Himself. He's such a good God. He'll let us rejoice. He'll give us laughter according to this scripture. He's going to give us a new song in our heart when we come to Him and we go God's way. But don't mistake it. When we go our own way, we're going to reap what we sow. We're not going to have the laughter we think we're going to have. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there is, the Bible says that it is fun. You can have some fun. Sin for a season has some laughter. Sin for a season has its glory. Don't mistake that. You go out here in the world, look, they're not all having the worst time of their lives, are they? But if you watch it long enough, you let that season pass, and what they reap at the back end of that season isn't what I want to reap. Amen. When their laughter ends and turns to heartache, the Bible even says that God laughs at their calamity because He told them it would happen. And they acted like they were going to do something different than God said, and God was just going to change the outcome of what He said was going to happen at the end. God's a good God. God will redeem you back into Himself. But I'm just going to tell you, folks, everybody, Christian and lost, reap what they sow. What you put in the ground comes up. What you put in your life will turn out. And it won't come just the same thing that you put in. More than you put in will come out. Amen and amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand. I don't know why you're... Listen, I'm just saying sowing and weeping is important because we're about to go into this Harvest Days campaign, and it's important. We have so many... You know, we don't have to go very far, do we, to find people. We complain about them every day when we sit behind them in our cars, when they're all lined up, when we go out to I-4, and we're like, how in the world did this many people get down here? Where were they transported from? I know that there's a transporter because they're getting here. We sometimes call ourselves transplants, right? We ought to bloom where we're planted, amen? But we ought to plant ourselves and do the work of God right here where we are. There are plenty of lost folks right here. You know, sometimes we think, I'm looking forward to next month writing Sunday school lessons for next month, Missions Month. And I'm thinking, one of the lessons I just wrote was about being a missionary. You know, sometimes those old songs when I was a kid talking about being a missionary every day, we think only missionaries are people that go out on the field. A missionary is somebody that has the mission that has been given to the local church, and that is to tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a correct statement of home missions and foreign missions, but it's all missions. Because a missionary goes out. Now, I'm getting off, but I'm enjoying it. I hope you learned something from this. You do realize missionaries aren't just going around the world and feeding people, or at least they shouldn't. They're not just going and building orphanages, although I think they should. But what missionaries do is what we do. They go to the foreign field and plant a church that people can go to, because that's what Jesus did. He came from heaven. He came to earth and He built a church and He won people to Christ and they stayed in that church. You know what the best thing about the New Testament age is that no one else ever had? The church. Jesus built it. He purchased it with His own blood. He gave us a place where we could come together away from the world. It's a called out assembly, a group that we can come. And what do we do here? I dare you to come on the property one day. Now, you may walk by and hear somebody griping. This is something the Lord gave me this week. Because I've been around here, right? And it don't take long. If you walk around, somebody's going to gripe because they're in the valley. But you can't walk across the property. You can't walk one end to the other. You may hear a gripe, but I guarantee you'll hear laughter too. Because they're born again. You walk the property from end to end, you won't just hear griping, you'll hear singing. And it won't be the world song. it'll be a new song that was put in their heart. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 40 and we'll come back. You might want to stick something there in Psalm 126. We'll come back, but I want you to see this. David put it this way when he talks about what God did for him, and I can't help because I feel the same way as David did. When I got saved, he pulled me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock. Look at it with me in Psalm 40 in verse number 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. It sounds like once you get planted, you got a direction. And while I'm in my direction or in the mission that God built for me and his church, it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I don't know about you, but we live in a day and age full of lies. You can't trust the news. It's full of lies. And even if they tell you a half-truth, they've slanted it to try to make you turn in the direction that they want you to go. We live in a day and age where there's a lot of people who are proud. Do you know why a lot of folks aren't saved? It's not because they haven't heard the message. It's because they refuse to humble themselves as a child and accept Jesus Christ, that accept the fact that they can't save themselves, that they are in need of a Savior. Don't look at me all pious. You know, some of you were like those folks. Some of us were proud enough that we thought we could have some part of it. I grew up Methodist. That's what my grandfather was. Thank God they came out of that and they're Baptist. You say you hate Methodists? No, thank God they had half the truth. Amen. Now, don't get mad with me. If I was in a Methodist barn, I'd crow for the Methodist. Right? I'd say they have good methods. Y'all are laughing. I'm being for real. They're very methodical. You know what Baptists are known for? Having the truth. And preaching the truth. And sharing the truth. Amen? That's why I'm a Baptist. Because what I desperately needed was the truth. You know what the world needs? They need the truth. The pure, unadulterated truth. They need to know that Jesus is God. They don't need to think about it. They don't need to guess about it. He is God in human flesh who came from heaven and died on the cross and rose again and now is seated at the right hand of the throne. You know what most religions are off on? Jesus. They all believe in him, but they got to tweak him just a little bit. He's not all that in a bucket of chicken to everybody in this world. Now, I don't know if you got that, but Jesus really is. He paid it all. He's not just a little bit God or took on the form of God. He is God. He is God. He will be God. He's the same. Listen, it didn't say that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. It said that about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because that means he's God. Amen and amen. You say, preacher, you're getting off a little bit? No, I'm getting on. I'm getting excited about who saved me. I want you to understand this morning, sowing and weeping is something that every one of us need to do. Turn with me back to Psalm 126. I want you to realize that when we look at when he put a new song in my heart, we see here that these folks were headed up out of captivity. They had a dream. They had a dream. Now, we don't think about it that way. When we say, I have a dream, sometimes we think about it in a sense of, I ate too much pizza last night. And I had this weird dream. But if we could put it in, they have a dream that they were going to come out of captivity. You know, a dream is something that you dream about because you hope you can see it in the future, that it will come to fruition. Like dreaming about what you're going to eat lunch for lunch today. You know, some of you are, gone right now. Because I just said something about food. You already have put it in the crock pot. You know what's going to be there when you get back. And now you're dreaming about what it's going to taste like. Isn't it terrible when it stays in a little too long and it ain't what I dreamed about anymore? Amen. It's a little tougher than what I was thinking. Amen. I mean, we could go through the list of things, but that's how, when we think about dreaming, it's something that is prepared, something I'm going for. You know that their whole focus, Ezra, I believe Ezra is the writer of this psalm. Ezra is coming up and going to God's promised land to rebuild the temple. He's been given a job. God's given him a dream, a vision of what he ought to do in the mission of God. You know that God gave us a book for the New Testament Christian that we ought to have a dream? If you're a Christian in this building this morning and the only dream that you have of service for the King is to be caught out of this place, that is a sad dream. It's a great hope, but it's promised to every Christian. If all you got left is you're holding on and hanging on till Jesus comes, do you know he wants us to be sowing and reaping while we're here? We ought to have a dream of how we can get in on God's plan. This little piece of field or the neighborhood that God planted me in with my house, how can I be a witness? God, give me a dream of reaching the people near me. God, give me a vision of what I want to do in this area. Tell me how to go, whether it's in the jail ministry, in the nursery, the security. Think about all the things that God put a new song in my heart. Let me sing that people might hear of your goodness and your glory. See, I know there's all kinds of people. Read with me. He says here, then was my mouth filled with laughter. Do you know why? Because there wasn't nothing to laugh about when I realized I was lost and on my way to hell. But now, boy, I can be filled with laughter. I don't have the fears of the past. Now I've got faith in Jesus Christ. I can just have a good time of fellowship with those that know that they know that they know that we're on our way to heaven. And our tongue was singing. Man, I tell you, do you know that this same group, and I don't know, maybe you don't, I don't have time to turn there, but do you know when they were led into captivity, they made them sing? They made them sing a song of Zion. And they sang a song of praise with weeping. Because they sang about how glorious and how great it was to be in God's house and how to be, and they sang that song as they were being taken away from it. What do you think? Now listen, I can only imagine being just a little spot on a tree or somewhere along the way. They said they hung their harps in the trees as they sang. But they were made as they were put in captivity and led away to sing the songs of Zion. Do you know, I guarantee you, the songs of Zion sounded differently when they were headed back there. The songs of Zion's said it sounded different when they had a dream that they were going to go home and they were going to rebuild and they were going to do all that God had put in their mind and their heart to do and fulfill. And they sang with a brand new zeal. Hey, folks, I don't know how long you've been saved, and I don't know what knocked you down. I don't know what dried you up. Look at this. Look what it says here. It says, and they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Listen, on the way down, they were mocking them because they were being put in captivity. But now when they come out and they're singing a brand new song of praise to their God, the heathen looked and said, man, look all what God has done for them. He took them down. Listen, everybody got taken over by Babylon. Babylon was a world kingdom. It wasn't just the Jews that lost to them in a battle. Everybody lost to them. So they didn't put that mark on them for the rest of their lives and the rest of their world. But you know what? Not everybody got to go home and rebuild their temple. Not everybody had a God that said, you know what? I know you stayed 70 years long enough. Not everybody had a God who predicted exactly how long they would stay in captivity and then they would go home and the people who took them captive would pay to rebuild their temple. You tell me of another group of people that Babylon let go. You tell me of some other group of people that God not only sent them down and then made them have judgment, but then set them loose, turned them loose, and gave them a dream again. Hey, I can tell you as a brand new Christian, listen, I don't deserve, it's the grace of God to know that I can serve Almighty God. I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I should be on my way to hell, but because of what Jesus did for me, I got a home awaiting me in heaven. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to wait to dream and spend my life dreaming away of the streets of gold because God paved his place with it. I'm not going to dream about the mansion I will have someday. I'm thinking about the place that God put me here. He says, in my house there are many many mansions. God gave me a church, a place to live and breathe and dream and work in this age. I'm looking forward to the next. But according to Hebrews chapter number 4, that's a place of rest for me. This is the place of work. I'm not looking to go there and work. There's a better rest prepared for the saint. That tells me, work, for the night cometh when no man can work. I'm looking forward to the day that I, look, he says, turn again in verse 4, our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. See, it's talking about all these different streams, that seasonal time period when there was a rainy season and a dry season. He said, God, we just went through a dry season, a dry spell. And these things that people don't think are streams anymore. When God opens the windows of heaven and he rains down blessings in the form of rain, them streams that look like just cut dry places in the dirt, all of a sudden they're streams again. Streams in the desert. He says, return, God. You know, God, you may have gone through a time where you don't feel like God's been blessing. Do you know God can fill them streams up again? He's that kind of God. But I'll ask you this, what dream have you been chasing? You wonder why God's not answering your prayers? God's not blessing? What's your vision about? What are you trying to reach out for? You know, sometimes when God gives us direction in our lives and we choose our own direction, we wonder why all the things start drying up. We need to get back about his mission. I can tell you from my own life, I grew up in a good teen group, just like ours. That was on fire for God, full of teenagers. Many of them serve God all around the world. One of them serves in Haines City, Florida, right here with you. And I can tell you our songs were different songs. And God, I had a youth pastor that would teach me to put my dreams, my hopes, my loves, set them aside, and to pick up the dream God had for me. He preached for me to die to self, and that anything that was ever going to reap had to be planted and die to self. And then it would bloom and it would reproduce itself. You say, preacher, what was your... I don't have time this morning to tell you all about what my dream was for my life. It wasn't a dream like some CEO and everything that many of you would think I would. I just had a simple dream. It was a simple one. But I laid my dream down. I said, God, whatever you want with my life, whatever you want to do with me, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. God, give me a dream. Give me a dream to dream. Folks, I never dreamed of what God would do with me. I never knew what God's dream for my life would be. But I'm so glad I laid mine down. There's only one life, and it will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. He finishes these verses and he says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Do you know the way we sow? This book, God's word changes lives. I'm going to be honest with you, you cannot sow it really the wrong way. If you take a track out of the track rack and you pass that out, you don't know what God will do with that. You give somebody an invitation to church. You give somebody, just put a scripture out on your social media page. You have no idea what God will do with that down the road. Because his word does not return void. And God's word changes lives. It changed my life. But I'm going to be honest with you. When you show compassion coupled with the word of God, that you actually care about a person's eternal destiny, it makes the word of God that much more powerful. Do you know they used to go through the field, and this is my illustration, and we'll head for home. I want you to see this and just understand it. When I was a boy, I used to hang off the back of planters, and when we planted soybeans, my job, we would pull out of the field, and I would hang in, and I'd make sure, I'd shake the boxes down, make sure all the soybeans were going down in the planter, and I'd be filling bags, just filling it up. It took so long when I was a boy to see that soybean sprout and come up out of the ground. But then I remember when we bought a brand new planter. And my job wasn't just to fill the bins with seed anymore. And then I had to fill the tubs with water and a little bit of fertilizer. And when they would put that seed in the ground, they would not just put the seed in the ground, they would moisturize the ground around it. And that seed is dried out. But when it first gets at least little drop of water, it will begin to decay and die. And God gives it brand new life. And it sprouts out of the ground. Listen, it wouldn't be but a couple of days, and all of a sudden those soybeans would be popping out of the ground. Because not only did we put seed in the ground, we put water with it. And that has always been God's plan, and God's plan even for soul winning. You know, we got the seed, and you plant the seed, and it will come up. Sometimes it's, again, think about this. Sometimes we're out there in the world, some people are on hard ground. Some are on stony ground. But the Bible says that if we go forth weeping with tears, he says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I just want you to know this. We go out soul winning, and God's word is powerful and will win people to Christ. But the Bible says if we go forth weeping, we'll not only go out and win somebody, they'll come back with us. Because who would want to leave somebody who cares about your soul? Who would want to leave somebody who not only is somebody who is a witness, but is friendly as well? I just want to tell you, church, yeah, this isn't a message to build the church and to grow it. That's Jesus said he would build his church. But he told us how. To go forth with precious seed, weeping. I want to remind you again, as we go out, as we have this campaign, as we really do some things to make a push to see people saved and lives changed, how are we going to do it? We're going to do it in our own power, take the word of God and spread it everywhere, or take some tracts. And before we hand them out, pray over them things in the morning. And shed some tears about the ones that will receive it. Say, oh God, change your life like you changed my life. God, give them a church like my church. God, help these things to fall into the hands of people who can't help but read it. And let the word of God fall on good soil. I don't know about you folks, but I'm telling you, I'm thankful that I had somebody weep over me like that. Because there's a lot of people that I've handed tracts to. But I can't say every track I've wept over. I can't say every person that I've ever shared the gospel that I prayed and wept over them. And there's just something about planting seed and putting a little water to it and what God can do. Because some sow, some water, and some reap, the Bible says. This fall, let's be diligent. Let's get a dream of what God can do with us personally and his word coupled together and then weeping. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, the message has primarily been to Christians, but if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, can I tell you that I wept over you this morning? Tears were shed from this preacher's eyes that people that were inside the building would hear about how Jesus died for them and loved them and rose again to save them. And I beg God that you would respond and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. I know you have to do that for yourself, but today we'll help you do that if you'd like to. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, know for sure that heaven's your home. We're going to have an invitation, and we invite you to come and to accept Jesus Christ. We'll open a Bible and show you what the Bible says on how you can know that. If you're a Christian here today, I invite you to use the altar. Come and pray and ask God to open your heart and your mind to a ministry. Maybe you'll come back tonight and see the ministry you want to be a part of. That God would give you direction, clear direction, give you a dream for his ministry. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray here. If God spoke to your heart, you step out and come when we finish and the music begins. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray you just work in the hearts of folks. If there's somebody that's not saved, help them to receive Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you. Would you step out and make your way down the aisle, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. If you just step out and come, we'll take the Bible and show you that. As Brother Bert sings, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
While we have our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, maybe you're here and you've been attending for a while and you need to join this church. You know that. You'd want to be a part, but we'd love to have you be a part. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the invitation continues on. Why don't you step out and come join this good church, either through baptism or moving your letter? We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you as a member this morning. If God's directing you to do that, you come, as Brother Burke sings.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Well, we hope you did whatever God asked you to do this morning. I know for each and every one of us as believers, God has a plan for our lives. God has a dream for us to dream, amen, for Him. And so I hope that you're encouraged to get back to that, or to get after that, or to find that. You know, I know that in my life, I don't know what my life would look like. I could tell you it'd be a terrible thing if I'd followed my own dreams for my life. Amen. We're going to pray. I want to invite you back tonight. Please do not miss the ministry fair. All right. Please be here for that. It will be exciting. It will be encouraging. It will be full of pretzels. Amen. Let me invite some of you men to help me as we set up for it right after the service. All right. Okay, Brother Congdon. Brother Congdon is going to come, and I know he's going to be mad with me for saying this, but he just recently aged out of driving our buses. All right. So I'm not going to tell you how old he is. All right, but he drove our buses for 44 years.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the preaching this morning. We thank you for the man of God and what he delivered to us, Lord, from your word. And Father, just thank you that your plan is far above any of our plans could ever be. And Lord, help us all, Father, just to dig deep inside and make sure that we're not trying to control what you don't want us to control. And Lord, help us to put you in control. And Lord, thank you for the victory of knowing Christ as Savior, and then the joy of serving him with our lives. And Lord, may you bless our afternoon. May you bring us back to the ministry fair tonight. May it be good and bring you honor and glory. Thank you for being such a good God and giving us what we need. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.